All right, well, all my fans are gone. I preached to fans on Sunday morning, and I just pretended that they were people. So if you watch, I would look back and forth as if they were people. I didn't know what else to do, so. That's right. That's right. That they didn't amen or do anything like that. What's that? Most fans I'll ever preach to, yeah. So, what'd you say, brother? Oh, appreciate that, yeah. Appreciate that. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, and I guess it was 2 weeks ago now. We did the number 3 on astronauts. Hebrews 13 is where we're going. So, astronauts go from Earth to heaven. I thought we would spend a week, and maybe we'll take more than this, but start here tonight. And we'll talk about visitors from beyond. Say a few things about that from a secular standpoint in a minute. But go to Hebrews 13, just one verse over here, and then we'll look at several other places. Hebrews 13, look at verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Have you ever talked to an angel? Maybe. You wouldn't have known it when you were talking to an angel. My dad tells a story. I won't rehash the story, but many years ago he has a story that he told that he really thinks that he had a conversation with an angel. And just like in the Bible, an angel in the Bible looks like a man. So don't be fooled by the wings and the halo and all that. That's not biblical. In the Bible, angels appear as men, and they would be confused with your everyday man. So he thinks that it's a possibility. He doesn't say for sure, but he says, it was a really strange situation. He goes, but it didn't dawn on me until sometime later that could have been an angel. I've heard a couple other people say the same thing. And at the moment when they're having the conversation, they just thought they were talking to another person. And then hours or days later, they start thinking about all the circumstances and they say, that was weird. And that was too coincidental to be coincidental. And again, you can never prove it, but we do have the Bible that tells us you could come in contact with a stranger and that stranger could be an angel. So, there is this infatuation in our society with things beyond, outer space. So I'll give you a little history of this from a secular standpoint. In 1977, there was an American science fiction film called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Y'all remember that? It was a story of a man, fictional obviously. His name was Roy Neary. He was an everyday blue-collar worker in Indiana, and his life changed drastically after an encounter with a UFO and visitors from beyond. So, since 1977, there's been a number of movies and books about visitors from outer space. I'll give you a few here. You remember E.T.? What a creepy-looking creature. Everybody thought I've heard people say, oh, he's so cute. He's scary. He's devilish-looking, if you ask me. I mean, if you don't know what he looks like, I'll show you a picture later on. Kind of creepy-looking. The extraterrestrial. Did you notice in that movie, if you saw the movie a long time ago, in the 80s, he had a connection with humans. And there was a, quote, love between the two of them. Really creepy. Really strange. Do you remember H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds? About visitors from outer space. It was a radio broadcast that was fictional. The whole story was a fictional radio broadcast, but people thought it was real. And people started flipping out when they heard it on the radio. And it was obviously not real, but they thought we were being invaded by aliens. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Starman, this was back in the 80s, a movie about a guy that came from outer space. Independence Day, a little more recent one. Mars Attacks. And Men in Black, all about people from beyond coming to Earth. So all that with Hollywood, and then something very interesting happened. Don over here could give you a lot of information about this because he works very closely with this organization. On December the 20th, 2019, the United States Space Force was established. And it was established when the National Defense Authorization Act was signed into law, creating the first new branch of the armed services in 73 years. So here's why they started the Space Force, at least this is what they say. The establishment of the Space Force resulted from widespread recognition that space was a national security issue. So with the growing threat posed by competitors in space, it became clear there was a need for a military service focused solely on pursuing superiority in the space domain. So there's some kind of concern about what's out there that could come here. Very interesting. So does the Bible say anything about something out there that could come here? Let's find out. Genesis 18. So this will be fun, but you should have some fun when you're studying your Bible sometimes, right? And remember, this is the Bible telling us about something that really happened, and you can believe it. And there's enough material in this little section we're going to read to do a number of messages, but I'm going to try not to go too far off the beaten path. But this is an actual situation where Abraham has visitors. And we'll see where these visitors very well could have come from. By the way, I'm not showing you anything about little green men from outer space tonight. That's science fiction. I don't see that in the Bible. When you see angels in your Bible, remember, they appear as men. But where do angels come from? Where do they reside? They reside in heaven. And God dispatches them to earth for various reasons. And that's kind of the route we're going tonight. So let's read a few verses here, and then I'll try to give you an idea of where we're going. Verse 1, Genesis 18, 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, you want to note this, how many men? That's very important. Three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Okay, I'm going to wait before I read verse 3. Let's make sure we get this. How many men show up? Okay, watch how the way Abraham addresses the men changes in verse 3. Verse 3, and said, my Lord. How many lords? It says, Lord, singular. How many people is he addressing? Three. But he's addressing one. You probably know where this is going. Incredible picture of what spiritual truth here? The Godhead, the Trinity. Yeah, really neat here. If you watch how these verses go, it transitions back and forth. It's three, but it's one. It's three, but it's one. And what is the Godhead? It's three, but it's one. The great verse on the Godhead, 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, that's Jesus Christ, another title for Him, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three, it says, are... Okay, so watch how this changes. Verse 3. And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Okay, remember several weeks ago on Sunday night we did King James Bible pronouns? This will help you. In verse 3, let's look at the pronouns. Thy sight, thy and thee, and then thy on servant there too. Thy. Do you remember the little rule that's so easy to remember? If it starts with a T, what is it? It's singular, it's one. If it starts with a Y, you, your, ye, it's plural, it's two or more. So in verse 3, even though there's three men and Abraham is addressing three men, he speaks as if he's addressing one man. Isn't that wild? Knowing the truth of the New Testament about the Godhead, we get why this happens. But can you imagine reading this without that insight? This would be kind of confusing. So look at verse 4. Let a little water, I pray. Ooh. What's that next word? That's plural. You is plural. Remember, all three are King James Bible. So now he goes back to more than one. I pray you be fetched and wash your feet. That's more than one. And rest yourselves, plural, under the tree. So you see that? God wants you to pay attention to the details, doesn't he? You see how he goes back and forth there? It's three men, but he addressed them as one. And then he goes back to addressing them as three. So which is it, folks? Both? Phil was here, he would say yes. There, thank you, Brother Mark. Yes. Now watch verse 5. So I thought that was neat. That's a whole other message, but just kind of follow that as we go. Verse 5, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they, that's plural, they said, so do as thou hast said. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the under the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. Funny thing here. When company comes, what do? Give him something to eat. Right? And he's the classic example of entertaining strangers not really knowing where they might be from. Although I think we get insight into he does know where they're from the way he addresses in verse 3, and then you're going to see again here in a minute the way he addresses these individuals. So go down there to verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And what's the next word? Verse 10. And so what I did in my Bible is I underlined in verse 9, they said, that's more than one. But then in verse 10, and he said. You see how it keeps going back and forth? Isn't that wild? Knowing the truth of the Godhead, this makes sense to me and you. I believe Abraham has a direct contact with the Godhead right here. How long has the Godhead been around? Is the Godhead around in Genesis 1? It has to be, because Jesus Christ was not, it's not as if he's a created being that came into existence at one time. He's always been. And he's equal with God, and he's equal with the Holy Ghost. So pre-Genesis 1:1, you've got the Godhead. The Godhead obviously exists here, and it looks like there is some kind of manifestation of that here. So verse 10 again. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. This gets kind of interesting here, kind of funny actually. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. There Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Now watch verse 13. And who's talking? The Lord. Notice the capital, all caps, L-O-R-D, Jehovah. That's the Lord God Almighty, no doubt. The Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Verse 14, great verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, you folks, you've been around long enough to see the Lord do incredible things. The answer to that is no. Right, Paul? There's nothing too hard for him, is there? Nothing. The darkest of circumstances, you give that thing to the Lord because nothing's too hard for him. You know who it's hard for? Who's it hard for? Real hard for me, real hard for you, not too hard for the Lord. Amen. Love that verse there. Verse 14, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. I always get a kick out of that. The Lord knew she laughed, and there she says, oh, I did not. Because if you look up a couple of verses, I think it says she laughed within herself, but then right there it says in verse 13, wherefore did Sarah laugh? So regardless, she laughed and he heard her. So I laugh not, for she was afraid, and he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Okay, so 16, the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Okay, so notice that's interesting. I believe this is a manifestation of the Godhead. So you got visitors from, you could say a visitor or visitors, and you'd be right either way, right? One or three, from beyond. What is their, what are they doing here? What's the main reason why they show up to Abraham? They are delivering a message. So here's the first point here. Messengers, visitors from beyond. And the first two points here are about God's messengers or God's visitors that He sends purposely from beyond. The first thing He does is He sends them to deliver messages. So the first message that's delivered here has to do with, now don't miss this, this is real practical. The first message has to do with a man and a woman who are both old having a child. It would take a miracle for that to happen. You know what God's in the business of doing? Performing miracles, particularly when it comes to birth. Are you saved? That means you were born again. You know what kind of birth that was? A miraculous birth brought about by the Holy Ghost. God is in the business of miracle births. Somebody here who's old, okay, there's a miraculous birth. Can you think of another well-known miraculous birth in your Bible? The Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, before He was born, there was a messenger. Who was the messenger that announced He would be born before He was born? Do you remember? A particular angel, do you remember? Gabriel. Really neat. In Luke 1, Gabriel appears first to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Him and his wife are old. They aren't supposed to be able to bear children. He says, you're going to have a child. They did. Gabriel, in the same chapter, appears to Mary. And she's young, and she has no husband. And he says, you're going to have a child. So notice that these messengers announce miraculous births. I think that's really neat. They're in the business of that. How about another one? You remember anybody in your Old Testament? Maybe in the book of Judges? There's another man and his wife who could not have children. Manoah is the man's name. We're not told his wife's name other than Manoah's wife. And an angel appears to her and says, you're going to have a child. And that child was? Who was it? Samson. That was Samson. So God is in the business of sending these messengers to tell about miraculous births. Very interesting. That angels would have to do with delivering messages about miraculous births. So think about this in the New Testament. What miraculous message or what message about a miraculous birth can you announce to the world? Ye must be born again. Yes. John 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Anytime a person is born again, that's a miraculous act. So I don't think that's any coincidence. These messengers from outer space tell about miraculous births. You and I have the same message to give out to the world, don't we? You can be born again. And, John 3, you must be born again if you want to have your sins forgiven, you want to have eternal life. So I thought that was neat. So let's go on in this chapter, and I want to kind of transition to the second point here. Look at verse 19. You're still in Genesis 18, hopefully. Look down there at verse 19. Let me see. Actually, I think I want to go down there to verse 23, and you'll see that Abraham, 22 actually, 22 first. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before who? The Lord. And I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter, but that's the bargaining match between God and Abraham. Y'all remember this? He says, hey, will you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if there's so many righteous people? And he keeps talking them down. So interesting how verse 22, it says the men turned their faces and went towards Sodom, but yet Abraham still continues talking with the Lord. Now go to chapter 19. This is where things get interesting. Verse 1. And there came how many? Two angels to Sodom at even. Okay, back in Genesis 18:22, the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. in verse 1 of 19, and there came two angels to Sodom and Eve. Now, I might be wrong on this. I'm just going to speculate, so please bear with me on this. It sure does sound like the men leave to go to Sodom. How many? Three. But then Abraham needs to have a talk with one of them. But the other two go on. Could be. And now what does the Bible refer to them as? Angels. And if you know a little bit about the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, we spent some time on this here a while back. When you see the angel of the Lord, now it doesn't say that here, but when you see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, there's a lot in common with guess who? Anybody? The Lord Jesus Christ. And it sure does seem like when you see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it is Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. Because he'll come down here and then he'll go. He'll come and go. So I know that gets heavy, but something to think about. So we go from 3 to 2. And look what these two angels are sent to do. Go down to verse 12. Verse 12. Oh, by the way, if I was to read those first three verses, these guys meet up with Lot. And what's the first thing Lot does for them? Let me get you something to eat. So, entertaining strangers. It says he gave them unleavened bread and they did eat. Verse 3. Go down to verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we, who's talking here? The two angels. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So they do it. Look at verse 14, really sad verse. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They didn't believe him. Just like people believe. People today don't believe you. Don't believe you when you tell about God's coming judgment. And they mock oftentimes, right? Well, if God says he's going to judge, he certainly does so. And he does in this chapter. So I won't go through the rest, but these two angels, it appears, well, not appear, they are sent to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Pretty clear, right? So not only are these visitors, and I'm referring to angels here, not only are they messengers, they also are sent by God not just to give messages, but to carry out missions. And that mission, Miss Diana, oftentimes has to do with judgment, destruction. So real quick, look at a couple of these. These are interesting. 2 Samuel 24. I'm taking you through this so you get a clear perspective on the fact that there are times, at least there have been in the past, when God has dispatched messengers to carry out to give messages and to carry out missions from heaven to earth. They're not little green aliens. They're actually angels. And God will send them to, in this case, you'll see, actually destroy something. Look at 2 Samuel 24:16. If you remember, this is when David is receiving punishment, judgment from God for something that happened here. So look at verse 16. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, so there's an angel sent to destroy, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. So that angel had already taken out some people. When you look up a few verses, you find that out. But the Lord stops this angel. If you go down to verse 17, and David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. So I just wanted to show you that verse, those verses, to see that it's not unusual for God to send angels to carry out his judgment. How about another one? 2 Kings. You got 1 Kings right there on the next page. You go to 2 Kings chapter 19. So angels can bring messages, and they oftentimes have to do with miraculous births. They also are sent to carry out missions, usually to destroy something. Here is a really neat one. You want to get context on this, go back and read this. It's really interesting, but I'll just give you the one verse where you see the angel at work. Look at verse 35 towards the end. 2 Kings 19:35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Syrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. How many is that, by the way? 100, 4 score and 5. What's that? 185,000 versus one angel, the angel of the Lord. How did people fare against the angel of the Lord? Not too good. 185,000. How many people in Titusville? Anybody got a guess? 30, 40,000? Okay. We'll say 50. So three times that, almost four times that. That's a lot of people in one shot. That's the power of one of the Lord's angels. Pretty neat. So they sent to carry out missions. Now, go to Revelation 8. And we'll a couple more verses here to close. Revelation 8. So we got messengers. We got missions to be carried out. Missions of judgment from God. Revelation 8. Now, this is in tribulation, so this hadn't happened yet. And I won't go through all these, but you'll see that God here, again, uses angels. So in the future, there will be these visitors. They're God's angels from heaven to earth. And they are sent to carry out judgment. Look at verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it to the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And if you go through this chapter, just in this chapter, you got the four angels. In chapter 9, you got three more. So those angels are directly related with, once again, the judgment of God. So they carry out these missions. All right, let's do a little transition here. Go to Revelation 12. Now, I wanted to start off with talking about God's messengers. But we're going to end up here talking about somebody else and their messengers. Who is the one who always tries to imitate God? Be the devil. Isn't it just like the world to try to convince people that there is no devil? Got a lot of people convinced of that. Ah, he's a fictional character. It's the science fiction. No, he's not. He's as real as can be. And you need to know, be aware of his tactics. Because he's very subtle. Look at verse 9. 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels, notice that, he's got angels. His angels were cast out with him. So I wanted to show you that verse to keep in mind that God has angels, so does Satan. God's angels carry messages of truth. What kind of messages do you think Satan's angels are going to carry? Lies. God's angels are into carrying out God's judgment. What do you think Satan's angels would be into? Trying to destroy, not for the sake of judgment, but for the sake of hate. Let me show you the verse on that. Real quick, John 8. So two places here will be done. John 8. You know these verses probably. Seen them before. John 8, 40. Look at who is out to destroy. Look at who the devil is out to destroy here. Very interesting. 8:40. Jesus talking here. 8:40. John 8:40. But now you seek to kill me. Now these are the Pharisees. These are these religious leaders. A man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. And then verse 44, you're probably familiar with. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a what? Murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The devil is a liar. Leads you astray every time. But isn't he good at spreading lies? Let me show you how good he is. 2 Corinthians 11. This is where, and we'll end here, this is where you better make sure you have God's words. And I think you can, and you know this too, you can only find them in one book in English. And if you don't have that one book, you can get all tripped up. I'm talking about your King James Bible, obviously. Because if the devil's the father of lies, You've been around liars. What do liars do? What's a good liar do? Do they change a whole lot or do they change a little? They change a little to make it appear that there's all this truth surrounding it, so it must be all true. But just, you nailed it, Brother Mark, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. Only takes a little bit. You ever hear of a white lie? That doesn't exist. It's a big fat lie. In fact, the little lies are really the big fat lies because they really misconstrue truth and change it all, mess it all up. Okay, 2 Corinthians 11. Now, I want to leave you here with a little warning. God's got messengers. God's got angels that carry out missions. Satan tries to do the same thing, but obviously got a different motive. Look at verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11, 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a what? An angel of light. So he would like you to think that he's one of God's angels. And he is certainly not. 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So I'll end you with this. When God's messengers speak, they speak about new life. Those births, right? When Satan messengers speak, it's a lie with the intent to kill and destroy. Isn't that it? Now, who is it out there that the devil uses greatly as his messengers to spread lies and ultimately send people to hell because they believe a lie? Who does God use? Who does Satan use the most to do that? God wouldn't do that, obviously. Who do you think he uses the most? You got a guess on that? What kind of preachers? False preachers. Maybe a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. Or I wasn't going to say a Catholic, but you just named the highest Catholic that there is. Hey, and that's probably the most destructive because there's truth in that church, but there's a lot of leaven in that church as well. They got the cross, they got Jesus, they just have another Jesus. They don't have the same one that we have. The one they have remains on the cross all the time. But cults try to keep people from the truth to keep them from being saved. So I just kind of want to challenge you. Don't get all caught up in the nonsense of the secular world when it comes from visitors from outer space. Did you know? We just saw it. There are visitors that have come from outer space to earth, and God has his reasons for sending them. And in the future, there will be some more. It seems like this time we got right now, God's way of getting truth out is me and you, not angels, right? But in the past and in the future, he's going to use angels again. Read Revelation 14. There's an angel that preaches in Revelation 14. And it's truth. So, and then the angels bring judgment there in the tribulation as well. So, just be aware. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your Bible says, your adversary, the devil. Be aware of the fact that the world has its own agenda about these visitors and wants you to fear. And they created the United States created the Space Force to keep you all safe. What's going to keep you safe from what's out there? By the way, I didn't go to the verse, but 2 Corinthians, or Ephesians rather, 2, Satan just happens to be the prince of the power of the air. So you know how to stay protected from the attacks from outer space. You know how to stay protected? Put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, hope that helped you a little bit. That's kind of fun to take a look at some of those encounters people had with God's messengers, real messengers. So, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for how just it's a lot of fun to get into these things, study. I pray that all of us, as we leave here tonight, go through the rest of this week, we would be sober and vigilant and armed with truth and not be deceived. May we all be aware of the deception and how subtle the devil is in trying to sneak into areas of our life where we need to keep them out. I just pray that you keep us watchful. I want to thank you again for what you've done with our church here. We just praise your name and give you all the glory for that. And we just want to ask for your hand of protection on us going home. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.